Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Demetria. So Demetria, why don't you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Demetria Good. I'm the CEO, founder, and president of The Good Fight, a nonprofit organization that was actually built off hurt, pain, accountability, forgiveness, healing, peace, love. And I'm actually a podcaster as well. We share life experiences of others in hopes that someone will connect the start of the journey to healing. And I'm going to give that much because we're going to get into it in the podcast.
Yes, ma'am. Well, welcome. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
How would I describe survival mode? I would describe survival mode as trying to live life the best that you can with what you're given. And that is the least amount of what you're given. And trying to make that work to fit your life so that you can live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's without the correct tools, you're just, look, same as like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Let's see if that sticks today. So tell us your story to and through survival mode.
My story. Okay. It's a lot. I'm going to try to cram it up as much as I can. Well, about 12 and a half years ago, I'm going to start from the top and then I'll go back down really quick. Almost 12 and a half years ago, my ex-husband brutally beat and stabbed me 6 times with a steak knife. And through that, months later, I attempted suicide. I put 30 Percocets in my mouth, and I tell this life experience over and over again. Hopefully it'll help someone else. And my toddler at the time bust in my room and was, "Hey, mommy, I loved you," and kissed me on my forehead and ran out the room. I knew that was nothing but God. That actually started my journey first, that I had kids to live for and I needed to be there for them. But it was also a confusion and mixed emotions because I felt empty. I felt hopeless. And I was a person that was against suicide because I believe that's the one thing that you can't be forgiven for. But God put me in a position so that I felt how others felt when making that judgment. And it's a very empty bottom feeling, and it's just you have no hope. But I took that and it started my healing journey, but I wouldn't really start my healing journey till about 5, 6 years later after that. But it took me back into my childhood where I had unaddressed issues in my childhood. I'm a product of abuse, I'm a product of molestation, I'm a product of being bully, I'm a product of being a bully. I'm a product from 12 to 16, being in juvenile 4 times, in and out of the system of group homes. And that I realized because I wanted to go back and learn every lesson learned from adulthood to childhood. But not only that, what it, that created was traumas for me. And I had to identify what my traumas was, and this is what my healing journey did. I was a people pleaser. I was looking for attention. I just wanted to be loved. And I was doing it in all of the wrong ways. And this healing journey and going back caused me to invest in me and stop putting others first because that's what I did all my life. And I had to learn how to love myself. And I started to dig deep and face things that I did never wanted to face, that I suppressed, and I tried to move on in life like they never, ever, ever, ever happened. And it just created a power in me that God had already given me because He's been with me all my life. And I took all that hurt and pain and things that were uncontrollable, things that were controllable, things that I did to hurt people. People hurt me more. So a lot of my hurt came from revenge or retaliation, but I had to take accountability there because if I just would have learned how to say no, how to not be a people pleaser and love myself, I would have said a lot of no's and I would have never been in situations that I put myself in. So it just caused me to finally, within the last 4 years of me working on me and self-love, this is the first time I have ever loved myself and been at peace.
Well, let's celebrate the fact that you're in this space of self-love. And, prior to recording, you and I had a conversation on Facebook, and there are a lot of overlays in our story. I was molested. I was also stabbed by my husband. I've had a suicide attempt. And very similar to you, adopted. So there's survival identities, people pleaser. I was an overachiever. I was a martyr. I was just about everything because my trauma taught me that I wasn't seen, heard, or understood. And oftentimes, when we finally get to a place of healing and we can go back and reflect on why things began, it's sometimes very clear and sometimes it isn't. But being able to draw those parallels, I think, really helps us reprogram our patterns, change the things that are no longer serving us so that we can show up in a space that allows us to move forward, allows us to thrive instead of sitting in survival mode, just trying to get through the day.
Yep. And I was going to say, and just to piggyback off of you, one of your first questions, how do you define survival? And to be honest with you, trauma is a survival mode. And a lot of people are in survival mode just from trauma.
Yeah, and The reason why I started this podcast is because I recognized that had I known how trauma showed up in my life, I probably would have addressed it sooner. But I really just went on with life thinking that I say naively because I think a lot of the reason why we show up in this space is rooted in ignorance and not in a bad way. We just don't have the information. But being able, like, if I knew that people pleasing was a trauma response, if I knew that overachieving was a trauma response, if I knew that the way that I showed up, that I had spent years trying to justify being part of my personality was a trauma response, I definitely would have been more inclined to seek help for it because it would, it was an identity that I had to pick up as a result of the circumstances that I found myself in. So I want people to be able to listen to these stories and self-identify because oftentimes when we've been traumatized, we suffer in silence, really thinking that no one will understand. And truth of the matter is, every time I hear a story, I might not have been in that exact experience, but I can definitely relate to the residual impact of the traumas people have experienced because it looks so similar.
It does. It does. And not only looking similar, it's a lot of folks where people don't understand how trauma affects them. But for the folks that are dealing with trauma, you have to remember also that your trauma affects other people as well. Even though we may not do it, hurt people, regardless if we try to or not, if we move on in life with untouched issues. Our issues are going to touch someone else. So that's something that we have to thankful and be mindful of because one of the first things that I did was I apologized to my kids. And a lot of adults, parents, they won't apologize to their kids because our traumas affect them. Just like going through my abusive marriage. I wasn't, and I call it an act of selfishness from me because not only me going through the abuse and the issues in the home, my kids went through it, and my kids were impacted more than me. So it's the aftermath of everything that you have been through. It's the people that you affect in the process. So one of the biggest things through my healing journey was to take accountability, to apologize to my kids, and to learn how to cope because we can never take that back. That is something that we will have to live through the rest of our lives. And, the message for folks that are in a domestic situation, if it's a male or female, and there are kids. Or, and there are kids involved in the house or listening to the abuse or seeing the abuse. I just want you to stop and look at your child, they're our future, and what we do can represent them as an adult because one of the biggest things that I learned from this is childhood traumas affect adult decisions.
Yeah, especially if they happen in this r really formative years between 0 and 7, that becomes embedded in the way that they show up in the world. I mean, it doesn't get any better as they age, but those first 7 years in particular are the ones that we need to be the most wary of when it comes to the patterns that we are introducing to our children. And you spoke about apologizing to your children. Being able to take that level of accountability speaks to your healing journey because a lot of people will get to that, claim that they're healed. I don't think there is a place called healed. I think it's a continuous.
Every day.
Yes, but people think that they're healed. They think that, they were the only ones that are impacted. And like you said, it's not just children, it's our relationships. Every person in our life is impacted. Co-workers, neighbors, everyone that we come in contact with, the person at Starbucks, gets a piece of that trauma in some way if we leave it untouched and unhealed.
And see, I agree. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but there's a flip side to it. My trauma actually caused me to be a people pleaser. My trauma actually caused me, every day that I went out would help me get through my traumas for almost all of my life. And I'm halfway through my 40s, was seeing other people smile, me making other people smile. And I did this and I did this, but I would leave and go home and I was suffering with stress and I was suffering with depression. So one of my coping mechanisms was making other people happy. And I was suffering on the inside, but no one ever seen it because I put a fake smile on my face. And I just went through life like life was normal and nothing ever happened to me. And as you mentioned, we overachieve, so we'll work more and we want to do things different. And sometimes we live with the Joneses, through it. That's a piece of it. People don't understand. And we're actually just self-destroying ourselves if we leave it unresolved.
It's a form of self-abandonment, even if we can't see it at that point or be able to name it either. I even with people pleasing and people making an effort to make other people happy, what we also do is show them oftentimes that we don't have a whole lot of boundaries, which then on the flip side of that can create this environment where we are used and taken advantage of. And although we can often see it, we don't have the tools to change it. And for me, learning how to set boundaries was key in my healing. I'm still working on it. Like, I think that's the hardest thing for me because I gave away my power for decades. And being able to set boundaries and being okay with no as a whole sentence is something that I've had to work on. But it's rewarding once you can see how you feel different, even if someone else isn't in a space where, they're comfortable. But at least I can say I'm comfortable. And at the end of the day, I can only take care of me. Yes, I may have children, and yes, I have responsibilities, but my primary focus should be me.
And then not only that, that's a good point that you brought up. One of the lessons learned that I learned from this was the using people using us. I want to make this very clear. Please, no one get offended. This is just where I'm at on my healing journey because everything that I've done in life has been a lesson learned from childhood and to adulthood. And that's a lot of the work that I have done, and it's a lot of the work that I continue to do. And as you mentioned, no is a big thing. Once you get the strength and courage to start saying no and standing on no, and no is creating boundaries with people because people will step over if you continue to say yes, I'm gonna give, I'm gonna give, I'm gonna give. But this is where I have to take accountability at. For all the people that I may have given money to help for rent or paying a car note or co-signing or taking food out of my refrigerator or overdrafting my bank account to make sure that they had and they never gave me back. And every situation I was left in a bond. I was late on my bills trying to help somebody else with their bills, but they promised me, I'm going to pay you back when I get paid Friday. I'm going to pay you back, just give me 2 weeks. I'm going to give you 100, and you never seen the money. Because if I get all the money back that I lent with people, and I ain't talking about a little money, I'm talking about six figures prob money, I will be living good, real good. I live good, but I will be living real good, right? I had to take accountability because if I would have just said no to them, I would have never ever put myself in that situation. And I had to ask myself, how mad can you be at them when you allow them to do this to you when you could have just said no? And then it may sound like, whoo, she. No, think about it. Honestly, think about it. That person that asked you for $100 and you knew you didn't have that $100 and you gave it to them, and when payday came and they ain't give it back to you, you're mad at them. But guess what? Let's start back from the beginning. If that person asks you for $100 and you know you ain't have it to give and you know you wasn't going to be all right and you would have just said no, guess what? You would have never put yourself in that situation. You would never had to worry about it. But that's where I'm at from the work within myself. Because again, that is a situation of putting others before yourself. And that's what a lot of us do when we're dealing with trauma, is that we're always putting people before us. And when I think from as I can remember as a child up until I was an adult, about four, up until me being an adult about 4 years ago, I ain't say no. I kept giving. And I ain't have control over myself either, because I allow family to control me from childhoods. And then when I started going through this healing journey, maybe about 5 years ago, and when I started going through this healing journey, what I realized was the control was to keep me silent. Like they kept so many others silent. But it was for me to take that control back. And I remember the day I took my control back. I was walking in the park. I had just got a text from a family member telling me what to do. And I'm not going to get too much into the text, but I'm going to tell you in this text, a family member that abused me, a family member that brought nothing but hurt and pain in my life. And my response to them after I let them go on and on and on and on was, you were a part of my childhood abuse. I would never take advice from you ever again. And what I told them was, don't ever text me. Don't ever call me. You no longer exist, because this person bullied me as a child. This person hit on me as a child. This person did things to me that people don't even understand. As a child, you know what it's like as a child to be hit by a family member and you got to go to school with a black eye for no reason and you did nothing to them. And that day that I took control back, God released an abundance of weight up off of me. And then, not only this, when I started this journey, I went to my mama and I told her, I will no longer keep secrets. I was hurt as a child and I will not live hurt. Your family secrets are your family secrets, they're not my secrets. And God has given me a voice. And now, God has given me power within that voice to help other people. And my mother, she did the best that she could do. Even though our relationship isn't like this, but it's like this. And she's still my mother, and I still love her. But I had to create boundaries with her too. And I have boundaries with everybody in my life, everybody. And that's why God has allowed me to live in peace and to finally love myself, is because I created boundaries with everybody. Nobody but God gets permission to cross those boundaries. And no has become my favorite word, too. So.
You gotta know. You gotta know.
No, I don't think so. Like, if I can't give it to you, if you come to me and ask me for $25, I might give it to you because I'm not expecting it back. But if I'm expecting it back, you liable to get the N and the O. Right
But you also raise an interesting point because, oftentimes, and especially I think in the Black community, we have this blind loyalty, right? It's conditioned into us, like, that's your family, that's your family, that's your family. Like, and it doesn't matter in some people's eyes what happened in the past, blood is thicker than water and all of this stuff. I remember about 13 years ago, I cut off my father and the heat that I got as a result from everybody that he sold his story to. And I spent a bit of time justifying it with people that are very close to me. And I, my justification was, I can only pick one person. It's either gonna be him or me. And it's
Me
me. I'm not
all
gonna be,
the
I'm not gonna be sat here left feeling horrible just because of this blind loyalty being tethered to someone who really doesn't care about how their actions has impacted me, right? Why would I be loyal to them and then disloyal to myself? It makes no sense. And a lot of people don't can't wrap their head around that, right? But you can't heal in the environments that hurt you. You can't grow around the people that hurt you. And it's not saying that you can't have, some kind of relationship, but in order for your healing to be locked in, your relationship that you had while you were surviving needs to change. And it needs to be something that coincides with your healing journey and the boundaries that you're setting for yourself and the path that you're laying for yourself after coming to terms with what it is that you want. And oftentimes, when we're operating from our trauma responses, we don't even have clarity on that, right? Like, we're just showing up. We don't sit down most times to consider what it is that we want because we're too busy considering other people. And if we have considered it, we don't prioritize it often because we don't know how to, because we're prioritizing everybody else. So I just think it's important, like, even though there can be resistance, if you are along a path of healing, you have to be honest about your environment, about the people that you're around, about people's intentions for you. Because just because somebody says they love you doesn't mean they have good intentions. And you get caught up in and tethered to people who just want to see you
Yeah,
stealing trauma. Yeah.
their love for you is to fail.
Yeah.
So 95% of my family, I don't even talk to them. And when I define family, I don't define family as blood. Blood is thicker than water. No, blood has water in it. So, because if we're going to be honest, like, most of my family is people that God has put into my life that treats me like family, that invites me to their home like family. If I decide to go to their house and I need to take a nap, they're going to allow me to take a nap and they're going to put a blanket over me. If I'm hungry, they're going to feed me. If I need somewhere to stay, they're going to allow me in, and they're not going to talk about me. So, that's what the healing, loving yourself, man. When you love yourself, you're gonna understand what love is, because it ain't nothing like loving yourself. And when you love yourself, that's when God is gonna bring you a circle of love. That love is gonna be so powerful. You're gonna be like, that before. Oh my God. Like, the last, I wanna say 3 years, God removed so many people out of my, God removed 85% of the people. He pushed them out. And then he brought, as he's pushing them, I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I needed them, but I didn't need them because they were actually bringing me down like this. And then God saying, I'm gonna bring some good people in your life. And he put people in my life that I have never. My daughter said to me this morning, Ma, you got friends that are just like you, that are giving like you, but y'all give to each other. That's my daughter. I said, you know what, baby? You're right. And all of that came from healing. It came from no. It came from accountability. It came from forgiveness. It came from accepting the good, the bad, the ugly. It came from looking at people and understanding that those that hurt you are hurt people because people hurt them. And I know we have a resentment, but God tell us to pray for them. So I pray for healing. I pray for them to go to the next person and to apologize for what they have done for them. Some people can't do it. It's like a generation of, in the Black community, it's the hardest. And if you don't have this skin, you just don't understand what we're saying. Because it's tough for us in society. And a lot of us, not all of us, it's tough for us in the household. Because what we are taught is that you pretty much can't live with other people. There's always going to be dysfunction, hurt, and pain. Not all Black people. Families, but a lot of them, if you listen to them talk. And if you go to other cultures, a lot of them, not all of them, some of them, but if you see there how they build, they're taught to build together. They're taught to grow together. They're taught to help each other. And if the dynamics of the Black community was to say that I apologize for what I've done, I need to get help, mental help. Like a therapist, a psychologist, a mentor, or even with us, our platform is connecting with other people that have been through your life experience. Because if I'm going through something, I would prefer to be with someone that has been through what I've been through so they can help me navigate. I've been to therapists and psychologists, and I'm not telling anyone not to go because you should seek professional help. But what I've learned is, for me, my experience was I'm talking to people that have never been through a trauma. I'm talking to people that got their degree and they got their degree to perform a service, but how can you perform a service of me when you don't even understand what I've been through? How can you give me advice? Like, you can give me advice, some good advice, but you can't give me all of the advice. Because you don't know how I feel. You don't know what I've been through. And that was a part of my healing journey. I took some of the stuff from when I went to therapists and I took that and I reversed it for me to do the work on it of from understanding my hurt and pain because my therapist couldn't give that to me.
I talk often that I think representation is so important, right? Like, and again, I'm not knocking these therapists because most of them are coming from a place of good intention. But listen, if you don't understand trauma, you shouldn't be touching people who are traumatized. And that's just how I feel. I think every person in a helping field needs to be trauma informed. Every single person needs to be trauma informed because so many of us are traumatized and operating from trauma responses. And it doesn't help sitting down and then being it, feeling like you're being judged just because someone has never walked an inch in your shoes. So I agree with you 100%. I'm not saying that therapy does not work, but you need someone who understands. And I've even heard that, people, drug addicts saying, I'm not going to a drug counselor that's never, use crack. they don't know what, they have no idea what I'm dealing with. And I think it's the same thing. I'm not saying you can't offer some help, but that representation is mighty important, I believe, in the healing journey. So, Demetria, I have enjoyed this conversation, ma'am. Tell us a bit more about your podcast, what you do, and how we can find you online.
Absolutely. So I have a for-profit I've been launching for years. I just really haven't launched it. I'll tell you a sec. I want to do the nonprofit first because this is our baby. So we have a nonprofit organization called the Good Fight Corporation. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization giving back to communities, men, women, and youth, specifically youth, because we want to catch the youth young so that we can give them a better future. And we deal with domestic violence, life traumas, and mental health. Specific area of focus is domestic violence because I'm a domestic violence survivor, but I've also been through life traumas and also mental health. So all this is about mental health. It all wraps in together. And we do a lot of free events with the youth, free youth tutoring. We have a donation boutique. We give back free youth hygiene kits, resources, workshops. We work with returning citizens, domestic violence victims. I mean, anyone with a life trauma, we're partnered with others that we help and refer so that we could all give resources to. But we're doing so many amazing things in the community, and it's so much that I'm going to ask that you check our website out. Www.thegoodfight.org. There is an E on the end of good. So it's THEGOODEFIGHT.org. And it's built, as I said in the beginning, from pain, hurt, traumas, healing, love, peace, accountability, forgiveness. And we took that and we made it a community base because as a child, the community center is what I went to. That is what relieved me being around my friends and community. So we're built off of life experiences. So everything, a piece of it that comes in here is built off a life experience. That's why I'm able to work with the youth because I understand what they're going through. I've been there, I've done that. The free youth tutoring, I did that because I was so distracted in schools. I was smart, but distracted. Because I was going through a lot of other trauma, so how could I solely focus on school? So we make a piece of that where we make learning fun, and all of our kids are engaged. The grades have went up, confidence, I mean, everything. So check us out. That's just a little bit about the Good Fight, and if you can, come support us. We have a podcast called Unfiltered Unspoken Podcast, where we share actual life experiences of others in hopes that someone will connect to start the journey to healing. So we have any life trauma that you can think of. If you're going through something, come check us out. And we are international, even over the globe. We've been in so many countries virtually. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful. And then we have a for-profit, which we're still launching, but a lot of the work that I do in the nonprofit, I do in the for-profit. We just bring a different variety of stuff. We give resources and workshops built off of life traumas, bullying, just all sorts of stuff. And Unfiltered Unspoken podcast is actually tied to the nonprofit and the for-profit because it does the work for both.
I love all of that, and I'll make sure that information is in the show notes. So, Demetria, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Listeners, audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.